maybe, just maybe, some of us can relate to the chaos that we see in that video clip. Some of our families as we were children growing up in families, maybe we're parents in the family, and we have kids that are part of our family. Sometimes there's those moments in those lives that it's kind of chaotic, as we saw on their ride to church in the van. Maybe your growing up or your family looks more like one of the 1990 sitcoms, like The Cosby Show or Family Ties, or even going back a little bit further to the Brady Bunch, where everything's kind of just perfectly in place, not nearly as chaotic as what we just saw on the screen. Or maybe you aren't in either of those two categories, and your family life is more like the show The Osbournes, right? Where they follow Ozzy Osbourne around, his wife and his two kids, and you talk about dysfunction, there's a show of dysfunction. The reality is that all of us, each one of us, have grown up in a family of some sort. Maybe you relate to John Chris and the video we just watched. Maybe you relate more to the Osbournes, or maybe you're somewhere in between there. But regardless of where we are, there is this incredible opportunity that each one of us is given to be a part of not just our physical family, but a spiritual family as well. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. That's what we're going to be talking about, focusing on as we continue in this study in the book of Galatians. If you turn with me, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 26, page 825 if you're using one of the church Bibles. Here in these verses, Paul begins talking about how our acceptance of Christ, and remember, we've been talking about this the last three chapters now, right? Saved through grace and by God, or saved through faith and by God's grace. So Paul's talking about how our acceptance of Christ puts us into a relationship with the Father by describing it to us in this idea of a family relationship with us being the children. So we pick up Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, where it says this: "You are all sons or daughters," and daughters, and we can add that in there because of verse 28, we'll get there in a few minutes, "but we are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." The first thing I want us to see is that we are family by faith when we're part of God's family. We are family by faith. Some people would say that every person is a child of God. That we are all God's children, and in a creative sense, that is kind of true. Every person who has ever lived is created by God in His image. And that's why we need to show love for everybody, regardless of if they are a believer or not. But there's another sense that we are children of God that not all of us meet. If you notice in the verses we just read, Paul writes it there. He says that we are all sons and daughters of God through what? Through faith in Christ. Through faith in Christ. John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, says pretty much the same thing. He says, "Yet to all who receive Him, to all who receive Jesus Christ, to those who believe in His name, who proclaim His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." See, we become a part of God's family in this spiritual sense through our faith in Jesus Christ. Just think about how incredible that is. Just think of being a part of God's family. Being able to call Him Father. Being able to be His child, His son, His daughter. That is an incredible, incredible truth that we find in Scripture. We become family with all those that by faith have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. So sitting around you today, for those of you that have trusted in God, in Christ as your Lord and Savior, are your brothers and sisters. Being part of family is so important to us. I think that everyone in here would say that there are important pieces to being a part of whatever family it is you grew up in. Whether it was a family that loved you and surrounded you and supported you, you took things from that and you learned from that and you gained from that. Or if your family was a really tough situation, maybe you learned some of the things that you don't want to pass on to your kids in the future. See, being part of a family is so important. We view, and rightfully so, we view our relationships with our natural brothers and sisters as being important. And they are important to us. They should be important to us. We do our part of living life together with those natural brothers and sisters. But our spiritual family that Paul is talking about here is not just a blood connection. We share this spiritual connection as well with each other. And that spiritual connection, that connection lasts not just a lifetime. That connection lasts all the days of our lives and then into eternity as well. The blood connections that we have, if that's all that there is, will only last during this lifetime. So when we accept Jesus as Savior into our life, we become a family of faith with God as our Father and those who have accepted Jesus Christ as our brothers and sisters. And in this family, we will find that we are without distinction. And that's number two. The second part that we're going to look at, the very next verse as we continue on, is verse 26. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In our natural families, there are many times when our distinctions are highlighted in our lives. Sometimes it's just because they're so obvious. We're so obviously different than our brothers or our sisters. So it becomes very simple to define each of our children a little bit differently by who they are. If you think back to the show, and the reruns are still on all the time, Everybody Loves Raymond, right? Remember the mom in Everybody Loves Raymond? Who's her favorite son? Raymond, right? Rob and Raymond are like these totally contrasting people. Totally opposites, very different, very distinct individuals. And Raymond and Rob, though they love each other and get along well, it's obvious that mom has a little bit of favoritism towards Raymond. While parents love their kids, there is oftentimes a perception of favoritism by some of the kids over the others. Isn't it true? Anybody in here been a child? We can all raise our hands to that, by the way. Isn't it true? We've all, at some point in our childhood or over the years, or maybe even in our adult lives, we've thought or we've said things like, if I had done what he or she just did, I would not have gotten away with it. It would have been so much worse. The discipline would have been so much more horrible. Or they always, my brother, sister, they always get what they want. They always get what they want. We have these ideas in our head sometimes. We feel slighted at times in our perception of our parents' love for us. And some feel that there's favoritism in some cases that may actually be true. But not so with God our Father. When we put our trust in God, in Jesus Christ, in a spiritual sense, God no longer sees us, but He sees the righteousness of His Son, Jesus. We all have equal standing before the Father when we are in Christ. Back before Christ, that was not the thinking necessarily. Right? The Pharisees, they would pray and they would be so thankful that they are a Jew and not a Gentile, or a man and not a woman, or a free man and not a slave. There were these distinctions. People thought certain distinctions gave them better standing with God. And what Paul says here is that spiritually speaking, in God's eyes, if you are in Christ, you have equality. You're on the same level, playing the same game together. Each of us is important. And before God, our distinctions just vanish, so that all that is left in us is Christ. Here's, I think, really the important takeaway from this point is, while we have different roles, right? We're all wired differently. We all have different talents, abilities. You don't want me singing on the worship team. And we can go on with that, but we all have these different roles. And while we have different roles, we must never allow ourselves to think of ourselves better than somebody else, or someone else is less than anybody else. Did you catch that? Well, we all have different roles. We must never allow ourselves to think of ourselves better than somebody else, or somebody else as less than anybody else. In the church, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. It doesn't matter if you have money or if you don't have money. It doesn't matter if you're white or if you're black. It doesn't matter if you're male or you're female. You make the distinctions. It doesn't matter in the eyes of God. You are welcome to be a contributing part of His family. So we are family by faith without distinction, but also, number three, we are family by adoption and heirs according to the promise that we see in this verse. In verse 29, as we continue reading here, it says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. When we trust in Christ as Savior, we become the offspring of Abraham and are adopted into God's family. Here's how Paul tells us we are placed in God's family in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. He says it like this. He says, for you chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. Here's the thing. When somebody goes through the steps of adopting a child today, when they go to the judge and it becomes final, the judge does all the paperwork that needs to be done and gives his blessing on finalizing that adoption, that child that is adopted has all the same rights as any biological child in that family. They are one with that family. They are equal in that family. When we are adopted into God's family, we are not only made a child of God, but we are given an exalted position as heirs also. We have an inheritance, Scripture tells us, that's waiting for us. An inheritance, as Peter tells us, that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Being an heir means different things at different stages in our life, I would suggest. And Paul goes on to describe those stages to us here. And I want us to take a few minutes as we're closing our time and just look at those three different stages. See, we see in this next section the stages of kind of childhood in the family of God. So in the very first one, it comes out of chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. It says, "What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is not different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world." So the first stage is this stage where the child is a minor, in a sense. When a person is a child, is a minor, even if they are a minor or a child within this really wealthy family, they don't enjoy all the privileges of that wealth. Right? Verse 2 says, "He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father." In fact, oftentimes in wealthy families, the children are under the guidance or the authority of a parent, a guardian, or maybe it's even hired help that the family has. So in reality, that child that is a minor in this case, is what the word I'm using, that child is no better a position at that point than the higher help, potentially. So think back over the last 3 weeks. We've been talking about receiving Christ through faith and God's grace. We've been talking a lot about the law, the purpose of the law, and being careful with the law once we give our life to Christ. Because we're no longer bound by the law, but we're bound by this covenant with Jesus Christ at that point. So before the time of Christ, God had put the law in charge to supervise his people, in a sense. But just as when children grow and mature, they no longer need the hired help or guardians watching over them, now that faith has come, that Jesus has come, and we've accepted him, we no longer need the supervision of the law watching over us. And in fact, I would go as far as to say that we revert back, when we revert back to the legalisms in the faith, it's not growing in maturity, but it's actually regressing to immaturity. Sometimes we look at it and we think, oh man, that person has it together. Look at them. They know the laws. They're following those laws. Man, they are so close to God. I would suggest that if that is the driving factor in their faith journey, in their walk with Christ, that they are not just not growing in maturity, but they're regressing to immaturity. When we believe in Christ as Savior, we are spiritually reborn into God's family as a babe. We are also immediately adopted as adult sons and daughters of Christ and given the privilege and responsibilities of sonship. And this is Paul's next point when he speaks of the child as an adult, when we continue on here. In Galatians chapter 4, picking up in verse 4, it says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." So in other words, when we receive Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we receive the full rights of sons, because you are sons. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, "Abba, Father." We don't need the supervision of a servant at this point. We can have the full rights of sons in Christ. We can immediately enjoy the relationship of an adult child to the Heavenly Father. As babies, we can't talk to our parents, have conversations. We just scream and we cry, right? We, however, can experience that adult relationship with the Father immediately as a child of Christ. Our Scripture tells us that we can cry out, "Abba, Father." Probably better translated today to "Papa," or what we would probably be more common with in our general society would be "Dad" or "Daddy." And that kind of a title, it signifies this intimate relationship that we immediately come into with the Father. And we can begin experiencing immediately some of the benefits of the Father's riches. I'm not going to take the time to look up each of these verses, but if you're taking notes, I'll give you the reference to what I'm about to say. We can experience the riches of His grace. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. We can experience the riches of His glory. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. We can experience, thank God, the riches of His kindness, His goodness to us. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. And we can experience the riches of His wisdom. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. As an adult child, we get to experience some of those riches right now. But in the final stage of being a child in God's family, we get to experience it in its fullness. And that takes us really to the last thing I want to say this morning, that I want us to look at this morning, is the fact that the child is an heir. You, if you know Jesus Christ, you are an heir to God. Verse 7 of Galatians chapter 4, we pick up right where we left off. It says, "So, you are no longer a slave, but a son, daughter. And since you are a child of God, God has made you also an heir." We are heirs. That means that while we get to experience some of the riches of the Heavenly Father now, we can also look forward to when we come into the fullness of our inheritance as an heir. When that inheritance is final and complete, we will come into that state of perfection and have glorified bodies that no longer experience pain, Scripture tells us. We will be in a continual communion with God our Father. He will be our light. We will know the fullness of being His Son in that transition in our lives. Speaking of those gifts, these inheritances, that we will have. Revelations chapter 21, 7 says, "He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." These are the blessings of being a part of God's family. The blessings of God adopting you as His child. No matter what your physical family may look like. No matter what it looks like today, no matter what it may have looked like 20 years ago. It does not matter in regards to this wonderful family that each one of us is invited to be a part of. Where are you today? Have you become a part of God's family? It's so simple. Paul tells us it just takes us believing in Jesus Christ. We know from Scripture, from the book of Romans, that in order to do that, we need to confess our sin. That we need to confess our need for a Savior and ask Christ to be that Savior in our lives. To believe in His death on the cross, His rising 3 days later. That is how we become a part of this family and be an adopted child of God. So I don't know where you're at in that today. I know in here there are many that are a part of that family. But I'm certain there are some that are not. And if you're not, I encourage you to just consider, just think about making that decision and allowing yourself to be able to call God Abba Father. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord God, that we can come to You and we can call You Dad. That as a Father, You are caring, You are loving, You bless us so richly immediately when we're adopted into Your family. And that we can look forward to what the future holds, the inheritance that Your Word tells us that we will receive. Help us, Lord God, for those of us that are a part of Your family, to represent Your family well. We know that it is Your desire for us to grow in our walk with Jesus Christ. Help us to take steps to do that, Lord God, so that we can be a good representation of the family of God. In a time, Lord God, where society in the world tries to cause division among people, allow us as the church, as a part of the family of God, to be unified together, to love each other, not just when we think the same way, but allow us, Lord God, to set the example for this world that when we disagree with our brothers and sisters on things, that we can still love each other, still be united for the single purpose of expanding God's kingdom. And Lord God, for those that are here this morning that may not know You personally, may not have asked You to be their Savior, I pray, Lord God, that You stir in their hearts today. But they're just not able to set that idea, that thought down. Allow them to reach out to You and say, "Jesus, I want You to be my Abba Father. I want to be Your son or Your daughter. I want to be adopted into Your family." I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.